Well, good morning, everyone. And so you're probably wondering what in the world was Pastor Matt singing. That was the Hebrew version of How Great Is Our God. And about 7 years ago, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Jerusalem, Israel, and other surrounding places to witness a class, not witness, but be part of a class called Jesus and His Times. And so part of that, learning about Jewish culture, learning Christian songs. And so I got to sing that in a really cool French cathedral, and so I just wanted to share that little thing with you. Happy Thanksgiving. So this week, as we know, on Thursday, Thanksgiving is coming up, and so it's one of, can be a favorite holiday, can be a tough holiday because there's a lot of things happening. We know that the Detroit Lions usually play on Thursday and they always lose, but that's okay. And the Dallas Cowboys always play on Thursday, but what if Thanksgiving is more than that? And so we'll get into our sermon today, which comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. But before I begin, I'd like to open it up and do something a little different and start with prayer requests. So we pray before the service. And so does anyone have any prayer requests? Joanne. Yeah. So two new caregivers. So you're losing the one that you had?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Prayer request? No prayer. Okay. I know that we have a dear sister, Sandy Patton. Serena is her last name right now, Janine. And so just keep Sandy in your prayers. She's still a member of our church. And she lost her husband, Lenny, last week or 2 weeks ago. Passed away because of COVID. And so Christy and I and Jeannie went to go see her, and she's kind of shaken up, but coming to terms with, you know, everything going on. But just lift her up and pray. It was a wonderful time to get to talk with her, to share about the Lord, what He's doing in our lives and here, and just to comfort our dear sister. So think about her as that as well. And so we go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll start our service. Heavenly Father God, we know that there's many requests that we come before You today. Some of us broken, some of us hurting. God, we know that some of us aren't here physically because we're not feeling well. Lord, we think of Dennis, we think of Phyllis, and we think of Jeff and Dave Patton, Lord, struggling with chemo and cancer. God, we pray that You just bring about healing in our midst, Lord, and I pray that You be with them as they're away from You today. God, I pray for Sandy in this time of loss, Lord, and I pray that that she wouldn't be angry at You, Lord, but that You'd meet her in a real comforting place, God, that You'd bring about love and comfort from not only You, Lord, but I pray that Your love would show through our church or other Christians that love her, even Dave, Lord. And God, I pray for Glenn and Joanne, and I'm grateful that Joanne can be in service today. And Lord, I'm grateful that they weren't sick from COVID. And I pray, Lord, that these new caregivers would be great, that they'd be a blessing to Joanne and Glenn. I pray that that they'd stick it out and take care of them for years to come. And Lord, we lift up this service to You, Lord. We think of Thanksgiving, Lord. It's easy to get caught up and think of turkey or football or all the family conversations, some good and bad. And even, Lord, sometimes our families can be divided between church or politics or whatever. But God, I pray that this Thanksgiving season would truly be about You, because, Lord, You're You are the reason that we should be thankful, God, because of what You did for us on the cross. Lord, that's the reason why we celebrate Thanksgiving. And so I pray, I know, Lord, we think about turkeys and pilgrims, Lord, but it's more than that. It's about Your Son. And so as Thanksgiving rolls around and then the Advent season, we celebrate Your coming, Lord, I pray that we'd focus on being thankful for about You. And God, I pray that we'd be a thankful church that prays for You and loves You. Because, Lord, we know that You pray for us regularly, Lord, but I pray that we'd develop a prayer life of thanksgiving where we thank You for what You've done in our lives and thank those who've been a blessing to us as well. It's in Your holy name I pray. Amen. And so you might have noticed just a quick announcement. Our announcement's on the slides. We're just trying to do more of a transition, try to make it more smooth. And so after the service, I'll go through some upcoming events, but they're on the back of your bulletin. So thank you, Dave, for making our fancy bulletin. But they're there for you. Just to highlight a few things before we get in the service, there's a women's retreat next year in April. Jeannie, is that when it is? April? April 29th. And so the Western Pennsylvania District, our district, is selling gift cards for Christmas. So if you want to bless a lady or someone in the church that wants to go to the conference, just how do you reach out, Jeannie? Do you contact the district, or how do you do that?
Ask me.
Okay, ask Jeannie. Okay, but so that's just a quick announcement, so let us get into our service. So as you can tell, we're not in Nehemiah. It's kind of interesting because Thanksgiving usually is a week before Advent. I mean, the Advent season, the coming of the Lord, the church usually celebrates 5 weeks up until the coming of Jesus on Christmas. It's kind of interesting to pause a sermon series. I'm like, well, you can't like not preach about Thanksgiving. You can't not preach about Jesus coming and Christmas. So I was like, well, it's a natural stopping point to my Nehemiah sermon series. So that will pick up beginning of the year. So as I mentioned, you know, Thanksgiving, we think of Thanksgiving. It's a time where we think of being with family and friends, time of football. We think of being stuffed beyond all measure. But what if Thanksgiving was more than food or celebrating with friends? As I've grown into age, I think it's easy to brush over what I'm thankful for in my life. Though this is unintentional, I found it easy to not pause and thank God for what he has done in my life. When we do this and we're not thankful, often selfishness in my own life tends to root up. Gratefulness and gratitude, if I'm honest, are probably one of the hardest character traits anyone can develop, because it takes a selfless heart to be grateful for what God and what others are doing in our lives. If we pause and think for a moment, we can truly see the tremendous and wonderful things God has done for us and why we should be thankful. For the Christian, the story of Thanksgiving is much older and much more prominent than the pilgrims that landed in in Plymouth Rock in 1626. Our Thanksgiving story began at the cross. The rugged old cross that was full of splinters and nails that pierced our Savior for you and I to be born again. He didn't just do that, but he lived a sinless life, taught biblical truth, and died for you and I so we could live free from eternal damnation and hell. That alone should be the reason why we should be grateful today. But often, it's not. We can often be the opposite. We can be bitter and prideful and gloss over what God has done for us. If any of you are struggling with gratefulness, don't raise your hand. God knows. But I want to let you know that you're not alone, as I struggle as well. Francis de Sales, the great bishop of Geneva, Switzerland, said, "I cannot understand why those who have given themselves up to God and his goodness are not always cheerful. For what possible happiness could equal to that? No accidents or imperfections which may happen ought to have power to trouble them or to hinder their looking upward." I know that in our day and age, it's hard to be cheerful. We know that for the past, well, it'll be 2 years in February, we've been battling COVID. And I know last year, a lot of us didn't get to celebrate Thanksgiving with our families, or we celebrated them on Zoom or whatever that looked like. But I know last year was difficult for a lot of reasons. I know you're thinking, Pastor, don't mention 2020. But God was not only teaching us patience, I feel like, but I think he was teaching me gratitude for what truly matters, and that's God and then family. But before we dive into Scripture, I'd like to offer a prayer of thanks to God. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for being able to come to the service today. God, we thank you for being our King of Kings, Lord, that you chose to come into this world to be born of a virgin, be a little baby boy, to live a sinless life and to die for us on the cross. God, we're thankful that you chose us to willingly die for us, Lord, because you love us, Lord. We know in John 3:16 you say that God so loved the world, Lord, and we're so grateful that your love was for us, God. It wasn't for any other thing, but it was for your creation. And, Lord, we're eternally grateful for that. And, God, we're grateful for a church building, Lord. We know that the church is much more than a building, but, God, we're grateful for this building. We're grateful for the many years and many more years to come of Crossman's Alliance and ministry, Lord. We're grateful for our denomination. We're grateful for the country that we live in, Lord, even though at times we're divided, Lord, but we're grateful for the freedoms that we have. And I pray, Lord, that that we'd be known as a grateful people and a humble people because we love you first. And God, I pray that this sermon be a blessing to you, to those that hear it. Amen. So today we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. We'll be studying the Apostle Paul's instructions on how to live the Christian life. So will you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, and follow along as I read it to you. So I'm going to back up and read part of chapter 5 to give you some context. Because the verses we're looking at is only one verse. So even though it says there's three verses, it's really one. So chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we don't know, and that I do not need to write to you, for we know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they'll not escape. But you, dear brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You are sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not, like others who are asleep, but also be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whenever we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up in the faith, just as in fact you are already doing. And then Paul's final instructions. Now we ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. And here's our key verses for today. Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So the first point that we see today is that we're to be joyful always. I think for a lot of folks, the command that the Apostle Paul gives to be joyful is hard. And you might be thinking, like, how can I be joyful in all circumstances? We know that joy isn't just an emotion, but when we think of joy, we think of the emotion of happiness. But we know that's not feasibly possible because there's a lot of things in life that get us down, and so how can you be joyful, you might be asking. From this definition, the Greek word is kairos, which means to be in a state of happiness and well-being, of peace and gladness. From this definition, it seems like joy is a feeling of happiness. But the Apostle James tells us in James chapter 1 to consider pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time to consider things joyful when we're faced with difficult challenges such as COVID-19, or for the past couple years, the holidays have not been very joyful for me. 5 years ago, it'll be 5 years, December 11th, I lost my grandfather. 4 years ago, seems like five. It's five, yeah. Dates seem to fly by. But my grandpa was the staple of my faith and my life. And we all have somebody in our lives who's led us to the Lord, who's been that faith foundation for us. And my grandpa was the one for me. And so it's been really difficult thinking of that. And then 18 years ago, I lost my grandmother on Christmas Eve. And so it's hard to be joyful in those moments of thinking about the death of loved ones. Even though I rejoice they're in heaven, it's still difficult. And so happiness is a natural joy. Spiritual joy is the fruit of the Spirit that helps us see the goodness of God despite difficult circumstances. So I don't know where you're at this morning, but perhaps this is where you are. You might be thinking, God, I don't know how to be joyful in my current circumstance. I believe you're good, but I don't know how to be joyful now. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote the letters of 1 and 2 Thessalonians to encourage the Apostle Timothy in regards to a concern over the faith and faithfulness of the believers in Thessalonica, because they had faced various amounts of persecution in the previous years. In fact, the Apostle Paul, during his first missionary journey to this city, was forced out due to persecution, but regardless of that, he taught the essentials of the faith and various doctrines to believers in Thessalonica. Despite the circumstance that was occurring, Paul was pleased from his report to Timothy that the church was doing well despite what was going on. He also sought to correct some issues that were spreading about. As you saw in the text earlier, there was concern over the end times, and they weren't sure what was happening. And so Paul wrote to correct that. Though we in the 21st century don't face outright persecution today in the United States, as our brothers and sisters did in Thessalonica, we do face opposition from Satan and critics of our faith, also political division in church and racial division and various other things that try to divide us. It's hard to be joyful around people who persecute us for our faith. For some of you this week, it could be a reality. Perhaps you're going to see your family and they don't really care for your Christian faith, or they're very divisive politically or for spiritually, or they don't really care to see you for whatever reason. And that can be a detriment in our own faith or our own joy. But friends and family, we need to be joyous, because perhaps being generous and kind this week, they might begin to ask, why do you care so much? This then could be a door to sharing about the life transformation grace that we have experienced in our Lord Jesus. Being joyful is not easy, especially in the midst of persecution. But perhaps you're not experiencing this outrightly, but have unresolved hurts or bitterness towards your family. Again, we know that Thanksgiving can be a joyful time or a hurtful time, but perhaps when you spend time this season, you'd rather not. While it's not easy to love someone who has deeply hurt us or cut us deep, perhaps the Lord wants us to mend this relationship this week, and he wants you you to be kind to this person by being joyful. I don't know what Thanksgiving looks like for you, but I know for many of the holidays, as I mentioned, are difficult times. So let's just think of that this week. Let's just think of not only that, of how difficult it is, but let's think of the one who bear our burdens, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5 says, "Not only so, we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out to us through his Holy Spirit." And perhaps you long to feel loved or to love again. We know that Jesus loves us as he showed this great display of love on the cross, but perhaps life has worn you down and you've forgotten that Jesus loves you, or you feel stagnant in your faith, or things seem like they're falling apart, and it's easy to mask out God's great love for us. Today I pray that you'd know God's love, and that you'd be held in his hand, and that you'd be loved by him and filled with his love forever. Persecution is not easy, but rest assured, friends, in Jesus' love, God can give you a joy beyond all measure, a joy that surpasses the hurts, the habits, and the hang-ups, a joy that can turn to hope, and a love for people. I know it's hard to love people, but with Jesus' help, we can love anybody. Amen? Amen. King David, the great king of Israel, like us too, struggled with joy and opposition. Many times, the opposition that King David struggled with was from external enemies that wanted to take his own life. He also struggled with sin like we do, but God redeemed him from that. In Psalm chapter 42, we see King David cry out to God and have an internal talk with himself about his downcast spirit. You see, King David's soul was hungry, and he thirsted for more of the Lord. He tells God that as a deer longs for the drink of the water, that my soul thirsts for you. So you see, King David was so hungry and thirsty for the Lord that he only knew that the Lord's joy would satisfy us. You see, our own joy, our own wants, and our own desires of the world can only satisfy us temporarily, but our joy of the Lord is what satisfies us forever. We get so caught up, friends, in worldly things that we make things little gods that we think will satisfy our needs, but in the end, they'll leave us more hopeless, hurt, and unsatisfied all the more. So let us today make a stand to seek God more each day and long for him, because he can and will satisfy our lives. He'll produce within you a joy that springs up with life and hope. And we can use this hope to not only get through the toughest of days, but also reach those who are hurting around us. Dr. Cindy Salt says, "Joy is fostered in us as we come together as God's people, with God at the center, but we are no longer about a meeting place. It's not rather about a meeting place, but rather through a person, Jesus Christ, our Savior who poured out for us once and through all his blood. Joy is fostered in knowing the very presence of God in the Lord Jesus Christ and celebrating that together. My challenge for you this week, or this morning, is to cultivate joy, more joy, during this Thanksgiving season and Christmas season. Let us take time to truly spend quality time with God this week. I know our schedules are busy. I know this is probably not only Thanksgiving, but Black Friday and the Christmas season is one of the most chaotic times that we go through. And I know that a lot of us have full-time jobs. But perhaps you have a 15-minute or 20-minute window. We know that God deserves more than 15 or 20 minutes of our life. But that's a start, and God honors that. So just take some time this week to spend time, alone time with God. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant, but just make some steps to strive to spend time with the Lord, because you'll come away changed. I know that the days that I don't spend with the Lord early in my morning, I know that's probably, I'm setting myself up for failure the rest of the day to struggle with something, or struggle with different attitudes. But I've found that when I spend time with the Lord during my mornings, I have a better attitude regardless of what happens that day. So the second way we cultivate joy is spending time with other believers. Community is so important for the Christian because relationships are not only challenged to grow in our faith, but we're also lovingly corrected when we stumble in sin. I found great encouragement with spending time with other believers who've challenged my faith. I'm young, I'm 26 years old, but I've had a lot of good mentors and friends who've helped me in those short years of life on this earth. But I've been so encouraged through many trials I've experienced. I know 4 years ago, I went through one of the most depressing times of my life, getting told no to not join the Navy, but God was there. He showed up through not only Christy as my friend before we started dating, but he showed up through many friends. And so I just challenge you that maybe God is leading you to be that friend, to show joy to somebody, or perhaps he wants you to spend time with someone this holiday season because maybe you need a dose of loving joy. The second instruction that we see the Apostle Paul give comes in verse 17, which says we are to pray continually. Paul regularly encouraged his churches to pray, not only for spiritual discipline as the individual to grow in their faith, but also corporately to pray for petitions, thanksgiving, and the need of those in the church and outside the church. Prayer, as we know, is the lifeblood of a healthy church, and the Apostle Paul recognized that. He relied on prayer of the faithful saints during his missionary journeys and saw the Lord accomplish much through the power of prayer. Praying continually here does not mean that we're to utter thoughtless prayers or words. I love our Jewish brothers and sisters, and I had an awesome opportunity to get to know some at chaplain school. And in the morning, they'd have their morning prayers, and they'd be praying like this. And Apostle Paul, and it's repetitious, but the Apostle Paul here is not saying that, and they're not uttering meaningless words. They're uttering, scripture verses. But we know that verses are much more than words, but sometimes we get caught up in just memorizing scripture, but we don't actually take the time to know what it means. But the Apostle Paul here is saying that when we pray, not to pray meaningless prayers, but to pray for God to do amazing things, or even in our life, or to encourage us. And so I just challenge you this week when you pray to think through not only yourself, but through your neighbor or whoever's around you. Because I think sometimes when I struggle with prayer, I tend to pray about me. And it's not about me. It's about what God's doing through all of our lives. And so just think about this week. How can I be continually praying for my neighbor or for needs of others or the church or whatever? Because it's hard to pray. And God will give you the words. And so don't worry about the words. He'll help you. So, in verse 18, Paul gives the third command, give thanks. When it comes to praying for thanksgiving or giving thanks for what God has done, it can be challenging. It's easy to pray for what we are dealing with currently and say that we need much prayer and that we need to pray for each other. But these actions were not only modeled by the church. It's something Jesus did and is still doing. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ prays for us daily. We need to pray prayers of thanks for not only what people have done in our lives, but also for what God has done and what he's doing in his church. The Bible, especially the Old Testament, is full of thanksgiving petitions, as we saw this morning in Psalm 118. In fact, the phrase usually goes like this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Yes, we know that God is good, and we read it in our Bibles, and we sing worship songs and hymns about it, but do we clearly take the time to thank God for what he's done individually and corporately as a church? Do we even set aside time in prayer for this? I think the answer often is no. Not as much as we should. We know that during the Thanksgiving season, we need to start cultivating a spirit of gratitude, because not only is God worthy of our thanksgiving and everything, giving thanks to God through prayer can have a tremendous impact on us spiritually and relationally. become more humble, become more joyful, become more loving to be around when we're thankful, and in humility. It takes a lot to be humble, but God can change us into better people when we're thankful. I know this is a difficult thing to do, but let's take a look at this quote from Pastor Chindom about Thanksgiving. He says, "Praise and thanksgiving should be the lifestyle of every believer. Every praiseful Christian should be joyful. Christians and every joyful Christian will carry the presence of God around. We know that we carry the Holy Spirit in us as believers. The Bible tells us that the presence of God is the fullness of joy. This comes from Psalm 16:11. When we praise God, we command his attention. When we praise God, he steps into our situations. And when we praise God, we let him know that we trust him even in the midst of our trials. So if this is you this morning, let us trust God in our situations by first giving him thanks for what he's done in our lives, for what he's doing in the church, and what he's going to do for using us in his glory. By being thankful Christians that God uses and praying about his goodness, God will step in our situations and will be with us regardless of what we're facing. How awesome is that? That we have a God who cares enough for us that steps into our daily lives. We know that from Scripture, God stepped down, took on human form. It was still God. And you wrestle with that, like, okay, we'll get into that later. But God took on a human form to die a sinless death so we could be free. And if God did that, God accepts in our situations because of the Holy Spirit. So we carry God in us if you're a believer. So he's always in your situation. So we should be forever thankful that we have a Savior who's with us. And in fact, you know, next week we celebrate Advent, and we know that Emmanuel in Hebrew means God is with us. So God's, not only does God in Scripture say he's coming with us, his name means he's with us. And so just remind you of that God is with us, and it's even in his name. I know it's difficult to be joyful in life's trying moments, but when we give God the glory and thanks he's due, he will show up and do miraculous things that we cannot do on our own. If we're more thankful as a corporate church, I think we'll have more of a global impact than we already have. I know that it's impossible to always be happy, and I've met some Christians who are not full of life, sadly. They're not full of hope or joy and are quite miserable to be around. Joy is not a feeling. It's a constant trust and hope in knowing that God is never going to leave us and never forsake us, and a promise to get us through even the darkest of days. The outcome may not always be what we want, but it's not about that. It's about trusting God's goodness that regardless of what we faced, he'll do what's best for us and when it's hard. This is how to cultivate joy, by surrendering in humility to the Lord Jesus Christ, by giving him thanks and the praise he's due. When we do that, we'll develop an attitude and lifestyle of joy that is constant. Paul's third and final imperative from our text today is that we need to give thanks in all circumstances. This comes in verse 18. Now, when I first read this passage, I thought, God, this is extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult to be thankful on our own will. When I think about Paul giving thanks in all circumstances, I think about Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, and he says, and I quote, "But I tell you the truth, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And so this seems like something we shouldn't be thankful for. Why should we be thankful for enemies that persecute us and want to do us harm? I know, I'm like, okay, God, like, it's hard to be thankful, not only for people that are bickering and angry, but for your enemy that hates you. But perhaps gratitude in those circumstances could be applied here. Maybe you're facing persecution, but you have a difficult coworker, as some do, and family members you don't prefer to see or be with this holiday season. Perhaps they need someone like you to be gracious to them because no one has ever showed them compassion or the true love of Jesus. Maybe someone has been deeply hurt by perhaps a teacher, a pastor, or even Sunday school teachers is the reason why they're so bitter. It's hard to be joyful and to make peace with these people in these situations, and sometimes we don't know why God puts us through certain trials. But ultimately, in these moments, he's showing us that we cannot do life on our own or in our willpower. We need him to make it through. Thus, though it may be difficult to give God glory in helping us in these situations, he is due that glory because of who he is. We know that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Perhaps this is you today. You know that God is good. You've seen his goodness. We know we've seen God's goodness in our life. And we know that he has come through us in various times or circumstances, as we know that God answers prayer. But perhaps you're in a difficult season. Perhaps it's a difficult season with difficult people. where it's hard to give God glory. But the Apostle Paul wrote many of his letters in prison, in chains for his faith, yet he still praised God for what God was doing, not only in his life, but in the life of others. Maybe you feel like you're in chains or in prison today, and you're not sure how to get out of it. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor, it's great that you're preaching about thankfulness, but I'm not sure if I could be a thankful person because of what's happened in my life. I'll tell you, friends, though it's hard, we still need to praise God in the storms of our lives, because he is still God, and he promises us to never leave us nor forsake us. And because of that, we should give God thanks for never leaving us. Jesus could have not been sent by the Lord, our Lord, our God, but that's not who God is. God is a loving God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. God loved us so much that he didn't want us to die apart from the family of God. For that, we should be forever grateful. In this Thanksgiving season, I hope that you'll learn to cultivate joy, because the Lord will sustain you and give you peace in all of life's circumstances. Trust him, and he'll get you through life with a constant joy. And then our benediction. Our benediction is a prayer, and I'll close with our prayer. Lord, teach us to be thankful in all circumstances. We want to be like the Apostle Paul, who was thankful in a dark prison. We want to choose praise even in the difficulty of our lives. And God, we know that we face different difficulties because we're all in different seasons of life. But God, many of us face difficulty of sickness. God, we know that some people aren't here because of sickness. Lord, we face the difficulty of finances, difficulty of sharing you, sharing your love, or even reaching out to others that need you, God. But I pray, Lord, that you meet us in our difficulties, Lord, as we know from Scripture that you are a God who is with us. Lord, your name means you're with us. I pray this holiday season that we wouldn't just worship you because it's tradition, but I pray that we worship you because we know you personally. And God, we know that we can have a personal relationship with you, and that you made it possible by coming to us. And God, I pray that we surrender everything today. Lord, I pray that if people need prayer, they come forth and we meet their needs, God. But I pray, Lord, that you just meet our needs today. And Lord, I also pray for any unspoken prayer, God. You know the needs of each person, and I pray that you meet them. But Lord, we also long to have a thankful heart, and help us have a thankful heart that paves a way for blessing. Lord, we pray that the enemy is defeated when we praise you. Lord, we want to glorify you, and we want your kingdom to advance through our praises. Help us to use your word as we worship you. Lord, we choose to walk in your peace. We want to listen carefully to you, and we want to live expectantly, knowing that you help us and to be thankful in all circumstances. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.